States versus King. Yeah. Mr. Beal.
Savvy veteran.
May it please the court. On behalf of Mr. King and Mr. Burgess, I submit that this is a case where we do know that the district court would have imposed a lower sentence if she had had an opportunity to do so. She said, "It's not the way I would sentence this if I had the choice." It's a little hard to get clearer than that, and we know she would have gone lower. So
doesn't Judge Bucklow say that in every case, though?
Well, then she gets every case back, I guess. we submit in this case that she felt she was bound by the guidelines, and she imposed the sentence she did because of the guidelines, and if she'd been given an opportunity, she would have imposed a lower sentence.
What do you think about the certified question?
I think,
if we gave Judge Buckle the opportunity to...
Well, I think this case is actually an example of how that gets a little tricky, because we have, with respect to Mr. Burgess, we have the other question of the departure. And the departure, more than the sentence, brings into play other factors of whether she could have granted the departure or whether based on...
Yeah, but she's not bound by departures and saying, I mean, that's just advisory now, you know.
Your Honor, that's exactly my point, that Mr. Burgess's case would be going back, number one, on the general question of she felt bound by the guidelines and would have exercised her discretion. But then we have this departure situation where, as I understand, the routine most of the district judges are doing now is first they look at the guidelines, then they look at the departures, then they look at their general discretionary authority. And with respect to the aberrant behavior departure, there's the departure itself, but there are also the 3553A factors that bear on the departure that she could now consider independently. And so when you start getting into certifying, it seems to me that if it's not a simple question, you're turning yourselves into bureaucrats that are going to be sort of developing flowcharts for cases. I think it makes more sense if, as long as there's some indication of error, just send the case back for resentencing. And that's what I would...
Vacate and remand for resentencing.
Yes, Judge. In accordance with the language of Booker in the Supreme Court.
Well, you can send it back without certifying it.
Yes, exactly.
And without vacating the sentence. You could simply remand it to the district judge to consider whether a new sentence should be imposed.
That would also be an appropriate way of doing it, I would think.
We don't have to retain jurisdiction in case we were to do that.
I don't see any need to retain jurisdiction. But Judge Easterbrook likes to come up with these clever things. So. The other issue is the departure with respect to Mr. Burgess. And
some of us are more simple, though. We want to vacate and remand that the district judge.
That's what I would submit that you should do with respect to that. She then could consider it, the possible departure, under all her discretion now, and then the court would have a clean question, if it came back up, which it might well not, a clean question under present law, rather than reviewing it now under past law and then possibly doing it all over again. So I would ask the court to simply remand the case to the district judge for resentencing for both defendants. And unless the court has any other questions, I'll reserve the balance of my time.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Beal. Ms. Miller.
And a novel approach?
No. Good morning, Your Honors. I would like to respond to Mr. Beal's comments with respect to Judge Bucklow's comments in the court below. Clearly, she made comments on the record that go to the issue of the third prong and whether or not she might have sentenced the defendants differently. One point that I would make with respect to that is it's even with those comments, and we have kind of gone back and forth, does that meet the third prong? And arguably, it does. But one of the part of where Judge Bucklow was coming during the course of the proceedings is it was clear that she was unhappy with the way the government charged the case and that we charged a 924C in addition to the bank robbery. So it really brings us to the fourth prong, and whether or not the sentence was reasonable for the bank robbery. And the defendants received 33 months on the bank robbery, and then an additional 84 months, which were not discretionary but were mandated by statute on the 924C. So the government's position is really whether or not the sentence was reasonable, and that it was, and so therefore it does not meet the fourth prong of the plain error test.
Now, we're hearing these cases today. Next week, so in 2 weeks, we are going to hear 70-some cases. Are there any cases that you're aware of where the government has actually come up here and said, send it back?
Yes, Your Honor. In fact, there are...
I haven't seen any.
I know that there was a case, actually, I can cite it for you, only because it's mine, case of William Coney, where we did concede error, where there were comments clearly made on the record that by the judge that he would have sentenced the defendant to a lesser term of imprisonment.
So that's what you look for, that sort of thing? But
that's one of the factors, yes.
Judge Flom, you know, I think in his wisdom, and he's known for his wisdom, pointed out that some judges, to use his words, are somewhat immune to these guidelines, and after a while you just stop saying I don't like them, or I feel it's too heavy, so they just impose a sentence without wringing their hands about it.
And I think that's a fair point. I think that's one of the factors that can be looked at, whether or not the judge made comments. But I think that there are also other factors, whether or not the district judge departed upward from the guidelines or said that they would go higher. In a case such as that, it doesn't seem necessary to vacate and remand to the district court, because it seems that the sentence, if anything, would be higher, and certainly not to the defendant's advantage if the case were remanded. So while the judge's comments are one of the factors that we suggest the court look at, it is certainly not the only factor.
Was your prior case a decision that was made in light of the Booker case?
Yes. Yes, it was.
So the district judge was aware of that and made that comment on the record?
Correct. And I'm looking at this case and not the other case, but in it was also an issue with respect to drug quantity and findings that were made by the jury, or so, findings that were not made by the jury.
So if we didn't have the 924C here, Ms. Miller, mm-hmm. you would be suggesting this be remanded? I mean, I guess what I'm asking is the difference from your other case. Coney, was it?
Right.
In this case?
Mm-hmm.
Do we have the same type of comment made by the district judge?
I think we have yes and no. I mean, yes, the judge has that first straight answer. Yes, and that the judge certainly made comments. She was, I think she was somewhat kind of going back and forth.
In this case?
Yes, in the fact that this was a violent offense that took place here. The bank robbery was a takeover by force where the defendants went into the bank at gunpoint, forced the people inside the bank to the ground, jumped over the counters, took the money, and then there was an escape from the bank that ultimately ended in a car accident. So I think that on one hand, she felt that it was a very violent offense. On the other hand, she did seem to express some compassion for the defendants in this case, who seemed young, and that the sentence did seem somewhat harsh. What's not clear is whether or not she's talking to the sentence in its entirety. And that was sort of the sense.
Well, 33 months for a bank robbery doesn't seem like a harsh sentence.
I would agree. I think that it's actually, our position is that it's more than reasonable. It's
like,
or if it were unreasonable, it's not because it's a lesser sentence than what was deserved. So then there was also the issue of the motion for the departure, or motion for the downward departure based on aberrant behavior, and whether or not the court recognized that it had the discretion. I can go on, or I see that the light's on.
No, that's just setting you up for
it's a warning
okay.
light.
There was the issue of whether or not the court recognized that it had the discretion. It is the government's position, as we set out in the brief, that the judge recognized that it did in fact have the discretion to depart, but exercised her discretion based on her interpretation of the case law as it existed, not to exercise her discretion and not to grant the departure in this case. So unless there are any further questions, I would simply ask that the decision of the district court and the sentence be affirmed.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Miller. Mr. Beal.
Very briefly, Your Honor.
The only thing I'd like to point out in terms of the reasonableness of the bank robbery sentence, clearly the judge didn't like the 924 being charged. But if the 924 hadn't been charged, then points would have been added for the gun, and the bank robbery sentence would have been longer. So that's actually a false dichotomy there. Otherwise, I'd stand on my earlier.
All right. Well, thank you. Our thanks to all counsel. The case is taken under advisement. The court will proceed.